program studied by Recruiting New Teacher, Inc., and has been the model for other colleges around the nation. For more information about HFCC's pre-education degrees, please call 313-845-6430 or check out the pre-education program guide at hfcc.edu/programs.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and I have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything. At a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil. And Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Penny Golden, and she is the owner and publisher of Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. Penny, thank you for being on the show, and how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You're doing great? I'm glad somebody's doing great. Now, you've been the publisher of this magazine for how many years?
Seven and a half years.
7.5 years, but yeah. Who's counting, right?
I might be counting.
Really? Yeah. Now, I know each month it gets to be a little stressful, doesn't it, putting everything together? Is that a challenge every month to get this magazine out?
Yeah, I think sometimes it is. You know, I think life challenges us, and it's always personal. So if there's a challenge, it's really about me learning and growing. But the community is so fantastic, and they support the publication and supply, you know, all of the articles and, you know, email me jokes and notes. And, you know, when it goes out on the stands, they're calling me up to say what they like and love. So, yeah, it's challenging, but those are kind of personal.
Mm-hmm.
The magazine has a pretty good flow.
Right, you know? Right. Oh, it has an excellent flow. I mean, just the different things you say. I mean, sometimes I like the little jokes and the little, you know, anecdotes in the magazine. They make it as well as the articles and some of the other ingredients of the magazine. It just all flows together, and it really sounds and reads real well.
Thank you. You know, it's I do a lot with the publication. But most people aren't aware that if they're kind of fallen in love with the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, and a lot of people are in love with it, that they're really actually fallen in love with my husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, see, he's the man who will go and find many of the heartwarming stories that are in there,
mm-hmm.
and it touches people's hearts, and a lot of the humor, or let me just say all of the humor and heartwarming things are kind of added in by him. So, that's his warm personality kind of expressed out there, and it's been really nice because I think more in terms of, you know, the mental and metaphysical and those types of things,
mm-hmm.
and I can get a little bit analytical about it. So the combination of the two of us, along with, you know, all the contributors, kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we should mention that Penny's husband is Howard. He couldn't be with us tonight, but he is also owner and publisher of Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, and he's a great guy, too. I mean, he's been on the show before. I've talked to him several times, and he's really helped us out with our Festival of Enlightenment, as well as you have, and we want to thank you for that very much. I know you're supporting it again this year. And I know I go on, and you've kind of chastised me sometimes for thanking you so much, but I can't thank you enough because you've been with us from the beginning, and the fact that you support us and guide us and advise us, we appreciate it so much. I just don't know if we'll ever be able to repay you, but again, thank you very, very much for everything you've done for us with this event.
You're so welcome. And what's really nice, and that's why you had said the chastising, because we feel like by you having the festival, even though it's a fundraiser and it has that purpose, which is kind of separate from, you know, body, mind, spirit, holistic, or metaphysic, it's really to bring funds into the station. And so we're happy to support that. But what it also does is gives a place for people to come together and, you know, meet and greet and get to know some of the different modalities that can assist their health, learn a little bit more about connecting to spirit. So it's like a gift, you know, that festival, having that every year. It's a beautiful thing to look forward to. It's always fun when we come. So that's one of those things when you do something like, you know, us trying to support that, we're getting a gift because you're creating that in the community. So you're welcome, but thank you too, really.
Okay, well,
it's lovely.
Yeah, it's a mutual thing, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. I know you've been on the show a few times now, and we've covered this from time to time, but perhaps you can tell us again, why you decided to start the magazine?
Well, I don't know if everybody goes through this, but what I was going through when I conceived the idea of the publication is I had already run companies, my own companies that I had created, and they were successful and enjoyable, but they were more corporate America, and they didn't have that spiritual aspect to them. You know, they were really about chasing the dollar and about earning a buck. And when I retired from that, I wanted to create something that was around all of the things that I really love, which is, you know, God's laws, how they interplay in the universe, connecting with the rest of humanity, improving ourselves the best we can in all directions. So I just made a list of everything that I loved. And I was reading a book. The book is called What Color Is Your Parachute?
Right.
And like with a lot of books that I think I read, I think I got through like chapter two. So the next thing on the list was, after you make that list of everything you love, was to cross off or, you know, pick the top three. And I just couldn't cross anything off. So I think the magazine was birthed out of me being a little selfish and maybe even a little greedy because I wanted everything on that list. And we were on a trip to my husband did fine art and antiques, and we were on a buying trip, and I always picked up the magazines from around the country, and when I picked one up, it just occurred to me that was everything on the list. So I started the publication with no experience and no knowledge, but just that desire to, you know, spread some of the joy and some of the knowledge of, you know, how we can improve our lives and, you know, how we can connect. And fortunately, you know, people came through, you know, they came to, you know, doctors came in and wrote articles and made it really worthy. And, but that's how it started, just with making that list.
Mm-hmm. So you made it work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So far.
Yeah, right. Well, now, I'm sure that at first, though, it must have been a struggle, wasn't it, to learn the ins and outs of publishing and what it takes to get that magazine out there and all that other great stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, a struggle is an understatement. You know, the first year, actually, before I even started the magazine, I purchased all of the software, which I knew nothing about. And I would open it up on my computer, and I'd start real confident, and then I'd end up in tears, like, oh, my God. And so there was a lot of panic, and there was a lot of education and a lot of mistakes. You know, so fortunately, I learned early in life from a woman who taught me. She did ice skating professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And she said the first thing they teach you when you learn how to ice skate is they teach you how to fall. Because if you do not know how to fall, then you can't make it.
Right.
And so there was a lot of failing and a lot of mistakes. And truth be told, you know, there's still mistakes because we always have refinement in our life. But yeah, the first few years was a huge learning curve for me. So I'm glad that I know more now.
Well, it's a constant learning process, I'm sure. I mean, every magazine is probably different from the one before. I mean, everyone teaches and everything teaches you just a little bit more.
You're right. Yeah. And that's, you know, having the magazine as a gift for others that they learn, but I'm learning too. So I think learning is my favorite thing to do in life. And so that's another reason why it just suits me really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great thing. It's a great attitude. If you want to keep learning in life, that helps keep you young, right?
I hope so. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I'll have to ponder that one.
Okay. Think about it a little bit.
Yeah, I have to think about that.
Well, no, I think it helps to, you know, keep a person's attitude. I don't know. I guess on the young side, if they're really doing what they love and they're pursuing that, they're not really thinking that, wow, I really dislike my life, I don't like what I'm doing, et cetera, which I think can really drag you down. But I think by virtue of the fact you're doing what you love, that just adds to your own life and your own enjoyment, and I think other people perceive that as well.
Yeah, and I think that you're probably right. Yeah, that does keep me young, and others too. You know, if they
right.
if they have that, that makes sense. Sure. Okay. So I'm going to be young forever.
Well, you know, you're
good
always
to know.
Young. Cause, well, I like to compare it to, you know, I ask a person, you know, compare it to a person 10 years older than you. Are you a young person or an old person? And, of course, you're a young person, so it's all relative. That's what I like to point out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or you could put it like my husband did. You know, age is a matter of the mind. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
That's right. No, that's great. That's very good. I like that. Now, generally speaking, can you take us through the normal course of a magazine? You know, what do you start with? How do you put it together? What's the time frame that you work with?
Sure. When we start with the publication, we're really starting with blank pages. So every single publication is, it's kind of like a buffet. You really never know what you're going to get. You know, each one of the writers in the publication, we don't really give them any guidelines. You know, I just have this personal belief that we're all divine beings and we're connected to a higher source. And if we're not impeded upon by our own judgments and opinions and the structure and rules of others, then if we take the highest intention, we'll connect with what is most perfect, you know, at that time for us and for those people around us. So as the articles come in, they just come in from the writers, and we really don't even know what they are. The cover of the publication is done on the last day. We pick, you know, what we feel are the best three articles, and we put them on the cover. And so it's as much a surprise for us as it is for everyone else what comes through there. But we get, you know, hundreds of emails of everything that comes in, and then we just sort of collect and divide and, you know, edit and proof and pull it all together. And we usually, unfortunately, you know, end up at 4 o'clock in the morning saying, this is really done. We should stop now. Like anything that's creative, you don't always know when it's done.
Right.
But you'll reach, you know, we reach a point where we think we've done our best for everyone concerned. And then we just pack it up and crash for a day and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are time constraints. I mean, obviously, you have to have it done by the end of the month so you can get it out for the beginning of the next month. So, I mean,
right.
There are time constraints. Has there ever been a time where you just, like, hit a brick wall? I mean, nothing really comes together. Have you ever had those kind of struggles putting the magazine out?
Yeah.
every month, right?
yeah, it's happened. You know, yeah, it happens quite a bit, actually.
Oh, the truth, you know, will out.
Yeah, it's that crunch at the very end of it. But I think that's a personal reflection, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mike, I think that, you know, if we take a look at the world around us and we see what's good and what's not, you know, we can probably connect that with ourselves in some way, either our perception of it or our attitudes and our behaviors, our habits. So, yeah, I can be a little bit in the habit of, like, pushing it right till the edge of time, you know, and it probably could flow a lot easier. But I think I do that because I like the adrenaline.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, everybody has their own way of doing things, and if that's your way and if that works for you, obviously you keep doing it, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it's been going. You know, that's my method. You know, like some people will grab a, you know, Coca-Cola and it's got that caffeine or whatever, but I think that's what gets me going is knowing, okay, we've got 4 hours, so let's, you know, that crunch,
right.
That I think sharpens my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that's just what I think.
Right. Well, I think some people are the same way, where they have to have that deadline that is so quickly approaching that it's like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? You know, that kind mm-hmm. of a thing. And then you just leap into action because you have no choice. You have to do something. You have to move forward.
Yeah. My daughter, you know, I have a few daughters, and, you know, after talking with them, you know, one will call and then sometimes another, and they have their own little dramas. This, everyone has dramas in their life. Except for me. That's
oh,
what
really?
I told her. I said, I've talked to 3 people today. They all have drama. I don't give you guys any drama. I mean, what's going on here? And she said, Mom, your drama is in your magazine. And she was so right, because I create that little drama, in the publication to inspire me to, like, you know, pick it up and make it happen. So, yeah, that's how evolved I'm not at the moment.
Oh, well,
that's
again,
my state of evolution at the point.
Right, but it all works.
And yeah, it does.
Very quickly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Penny Golden, and she is the owner and publisher of Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. Now, in addition to the magazine, you've also started your own internet radio network. Is that correct?
Yes, we have.
And how is that working out?
Radio, I think, which you probably know, is it's fun. And I think there's some intimacy to radio. There's just this comfort level where people can sort of block out the world and just, you know, have a great conversation. And our station, Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, is all about talk. We don't do music like you guys do here because you guys have a good mix. So there's so many conversations that are recorded. It's fun. It's fantastic. And because it's internet-based, we have people connecting from around the world. So that's exciting to get a perspective from somebody who's on the other side of the world. It's just been a lot of fun. And we have some incredible hosts that have stepped up, and they carry their shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they create their own content, and they pull in fantastic guests. So it's been really fun, and it's exciting. Yeah, I mm-hmm. love it.
Right. So you actually hear from people all over the world that actually listen to the radio station?
Yeah, they listen, and they call in. It's amazing. Like, I'll get a call from London from someone, what number do I call for the radio? I want to talk with them on the radio. So it's, you know, it's kind of exciting. Maybe it's not a big deal, but I feel an excitement. Like, you know, that a person who's hosting that show and the listeners are getting fresh and new perspectives.
Right.
Yeah, because it's not all, you know, the same 7 people are in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun that way.
Right. No, I think that's very exciting. Like you said, mm-hmm. you hear a different perspective, different viewpoint, and it is exciting because you're reaching so many people. Again, it's that ripple effect, and, you know, you touch one person, and they touch more people, and they touch more people, and it just keeps growing and growing, and you never really know what effect you're having on everybody, you know, and it's just amazing when you think about what you could be doing and what you are doing. Do you ever feel like you're really just doing something great?
Not yet.
Not yet? You're working on that, right?
You know, yeah, you know, I think that we have incredible people here in Michigan. What's one of the things I recognized early on is that we have this base of people that have dedicated their lives to improving life, their life and others, and not in a small way. I've visited other parts of the country, and we just have an enormous amount of really talented, dedicated people. And so, you know, I'm humbled by them, and I try to be of great service to give them a voice in the community, because knowing some of the things that they've learned and that they can teach us can help us, you know, be a little happier, be a little healthier. So, yeah, I think it's small compared to what it could be, but I'm grateful for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm grateful.
So. Right. Well, yeah. It's growing and it's a work in progress, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. And I don't know how much larger it can get. I mean, we have covered, you know, half of Michigan. We don't really intend to go larger than that. Mm-hmm. This is where most of the population is. But hopefully we just get better at it, you mm-hmm. know, so that it's there. It has a presence out there. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you originally from Michigan?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was born in Pontiac.
Okay. So you migrated a little away from Pontiac. I think you're currently based in Westland, aren't you?
Correct. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to get a little out of the ghetto there.
Well, okay. if that's what you say, that's fine. But, how long have you been in Westland now?
Probably, well, we were in Plymouth before that, mm-hmm. so we've kind of been in that area.
Right.
My husband's from Ann Arbor. I think we've been in Westland about 12 years. Mm-hmm. I don't keep track of time.
Right.
So actually, it's my husband has those answers. Mm-hmm. I always look to him. How long have we been married? You know, I don't keep track of all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, by virtue of the fact that you just go on day by day, you just plug along, you don't really pay attention to milestones necessarily, like X number of years you've been on the air or X number of, you know, magazines you put out, anything like that. You just take it from day to day.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that. I hadn't thought about it before, but it's so true. Like, the things that I consider milestones would be if my mind is stretched by an ideal that makes me rethink what I've done and can actually has that potential to shift what I'll do next so that what I'm doing is a better service to myself and to others. And those are the milestones that I really pay attention to. And so I'm not big on celebrations. You know, I don't celebrate my mm-hmm. birthday. I don't keep track of anniversaries. I don't, you know, I forget those things. Mm-hmm. But I remember sacred moments between me and other people that I know the presence of God was there, that we were guided to assist each other or expand each other's mind. So those are the things that matter most to me. And that's what I keep track of. And I think that's what we do. People keep track of what they value.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so
right.
that's
and
what
some
I value.
People do value anniversaries. And I mean, the dates and stuff, the
they
time,
do.
You know, it just depends on the person. But I definitely understand your point because in the end, what does a date really mean? You know, I mean, it's the memories you take with you and the experiences you've had throughout life that are going to carry you into the next world or next realm, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays a very important part. Do you agree?
I absolutely do. And I also agree with you that some people care about those dates. I have gotten in a lot of trouble.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Like my mother-in-law will call me and say, honey, your wedding anniversary is coming up. Like she knows to remind me. So I've gotten down some key birthdays, you know, because their perception is if you talk with them on that day or, you know, smile with them or be with them,
right.
then they feel loved by that. So I want to be, you know, I try to like understand that that's a different perspective and be respectful of it. Mm-hmm. What was your question?
Well, just by virtue of the fact that, you know, you are who you are, you know, again, sometimes dates aren't all that important, you know. I mean, it's the memories and the things, like you were saying, that you feel are sacred to you that are going to carry you through, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, plus we're eternal beings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the soul that we are, were created in the beginning. All souls were created at the same time. We're all ancient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've lived again and again and again. And so time to me is just, I just look at it a different way. I mean, this is metaphysically speaking. So
right.
I'm sure you've had many guests and you may feel the same way that,
right.
you know, we're ancient.
Right. Well, they do say that time is actually a man-made invention. I mean, you know, we didn't have time, obviously, at the beginning. I mean, we just existed.
Right.
And getting back to the point, what I was trying to make is that sometimes it's the memories and the thoughts that carry you through to the next life or whatever it might be. I mean, the next life, who's really going to remember certain dates or anything like that? You're going to remember the essence of a person or the essence of an event more so than actual dates.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but that's true as well. Yeah. So looking at things more from that a higher level, You know, that's what I'm always attempting to do. Was, you know, like Edgar Cayce, he said that, you know, the best thing that we humans, any individual, can do is choose an ideal state of being and then just practice every day being that. So like an ideal state of being might be love. So practice being loving and receiving love and all of that. Or, you know, so you can pick any high ideal. And that's usually what I'm looking at. And so those things I think we carry on from life to life, mm-hmm. you know. And then karma and all that stuff,
right.
too.
All that stuff plays a role, I think, to a certain degree.
Unfortunately or fortunately.
Right. Depends how you look at it. But once again, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Penny Golden. She is the owner and publisher of Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. Now, you mentioned Edgar Cayce. I know you and Howard are both big fans of him. Are you still studying him?
I don't study his work anymore as much as what I love to do is help people, you know, understand an ideal or a concept, or even when it comes to medical things, know that on a deeper level. So I'll go to his work to pull out different readings so that they can better understand. Like, there's a lot of people say you are what you think, mm-hmm. and then there's another group of people that say you are what you eat. But Edgar Cayce said you are what you think and you are what you eat. And I have found that a lot of arguments can be solved by not picking one or the other. If you eliminate, you know, exclusion, don't exclude either ideal, but combine the two. And Edgar Cayce was always doing that. So he's a constant resource for me to pull those ideals together and say, yes, you are what you think, and yes, you are what you eat. You're both of those. And so that's why I love his work, is because it's just very whole-minded. Mm-hmm. Body, mind, and spirit. In fact, right. that's how the magazine was named, Body, Mind, Spirit. It was through Edgar Cayce's work of him saying that we are beings, we are body, mind, and spirit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So you borrowed that from him?
Yeah. You know, we researched it. Howard did. You know, I mean, it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So you could say I stole it from the Hebrews. I don't
well,
know.
but don't say you I stole think... it from anybody. Just say it's an original thought, I
there,
guess.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, I'm not even sure if we have original thoughts. I think everything's recycled.
Right. It is, you know. I yeah. mean, after a while, the new fashion is just something that's been recycled from years
exactly.
before, usually.
Absolutely. But, you know, I think it's something that we all own. You know, there are some things that are just human. You know, so body, mind, spirit is that. We're all body, mind, spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gets back to the holistic aspect, the fact that you are what you eat and you are who you are, what you think. And I think that, you know, we just are our own beings and we are who we are. And you can't really divide the two sometimes and just incorporate it. And like you said, try to work things out and work things through and work together.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, just recently, I had like a few people call me all in a row. You know, they're like, I'm lacking motivation, you know, and then another one. And it just kept coming up, that motivation, that word motivation. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult to express, you know, what needs to be said to myself or anyone else. But, you know, we really need to be whatever that is that we feel is lacking. We need to connect with it somehow within us. And then expand it, you know, mm-hmm. and knowing the connections between body, mind, and spirit help us do that. Because sometimes we can't find it in our mind, in our thoughts, but we might find it, you know, in the physical. And then we can make those connections and be at peace, you know, kind of expand that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that made sense.
It does. What I want to know is what helps motivate you, would you say?
Oh, my God, I am constantly motivated.
Mm-hmm.
What motivates me? Finding God's laws and seeing how they apply to my life and how they can be expanded out for other people. Because I feel whenever I find any part of the universal laws and how they connect, then things flow. You know, everything's good. That's where there is health and prosperity and joy and happiness. So it's almost like a quest for me, you know, just to find the quest. I'm on this quest to just find all the ways in which, you know, we connect to the rest of humanity, our connection to God, our connection to the universe.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, also working on the magazine keeps you motivated, too, because you do have deadlines, like we were talking about earlier. Yeah. You have no choice but to stay motivated, correct?
That's true. There's a certain point at which, yeah, got to get in there and do the task. That's
right.
True.
Right. Yeah. Now, getting back to Edgar Cayce, what else have you learned from him throughout your studies?
I think one of the most important things I learned is his ideal of how to visualize the mind of God so that it's understandable for you, me, and any person.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the analogy that he used, and I use it all the time, you know, just to conceive things in my own mind and then to share with other people. And so what he did is he took, if your listeners would just maybe take, I don't know how to really do it visually without paper, but if you were to say just draw a circle, mm-hmm. and then if you drew a point to it, that individual point would be one person's consciousness, say yours. And if you drew another point next to it, that would be mine. And then every other person would also be all a part of that one big circle that you drew, and at the center of that would be the mind of God. So what Edgar Cayce showed us and told us is that there's really only one mind. So we don't have a separate mind. Your mind is mine, and mine is yours. We're connected that way,
mm-hmm.
because we're all a part of God, and we're all a part of God's mind. So that concept alone, I think, begins to help people understand, how can we read each other's mind? How can telepathic happen? Mm-hmm. How can you heal somebody long distance? How can you pray for another person and have that prayer actually help them grieve or help them heal? All of those things can be described with that one concept that Edgar Cayce showed about how the mind works.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is amazing to me.
Right.
And I think, for me anyway, that was the best thing, you know, in his material.
Mm-hmm. So just showing the fact that everybody is connected one way or another, I think that that is true, that people don't realize it sometimes, but we are dependent on each other more so than I think we realize. And I think there is a greater consciousness that people, you know, delve into and touch. And I think that expands, again, what you're saying. You know, you get the circle, it's bigger, bigger, bigger. And I think that just keeps expanding it. Do you find that to be true?
Absolutely. In fact, that was the name I was going to give the magazine, was Expanding Awareness.
Really? Well,
yeah.
That's a good title. But
yeah. Well, my husband didn't like it.
And
he won that argument. So,
all right.
So we got the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. But, yeah, that's really what it's all about. You know, if you have something good, you want to expand it. And so whether it's peace, joy, love, prosperity, you want that expanded in your life and in the lives of others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when you started the magazine, was your husband Howard on board with this, or did you have to convince him to follow you in doing this? Was it a project in trying to motivate him?
No, my husband has been married. I'm his third wife, so he's a really smart guy now. He learned whatever the wife wants, give it to the wife.
Uh-huh.
So by
very,
time...
Very, very important.
Absolutely. And we've been married 25 years now, so...
Mm-hmm.
But no, he was entirely for it. He just thought it was fantastic and was entirely supportive of it. And how great for me, you know, to have that kind of support, you know, to jump into something that I never did. So I'm grateful that, you know, I had that type of support. And then I try to be that type of support to him and to others too,
mm-hmm.
you know, because sometimes when you're starting on an endeavor, whatever it might be, you really need somebody in your corner. And So I recommend, you know, don't even tell your dreams to anybody who's not going to be in your corner. You know, find that one person, even if it's somebody on the radio or, you know, somebody on a bus stop who can get behind you and say, hey, yeah, go for it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah, I had that support. I'm grateful.
Right. It's really hard to find that support sometimes, I think. I mean, some people are so petty, they will tear down your dreams any chance they get or tell you that you're not valuable, that you shouldn't be doing the things you're doing in order to, I guess, create your own happiness. And that's what it really comes down to. You have to follow your heart, correct?
I think so. But I think there's more. You know, I think you have to guard against that. You know, when others perceive that whatever you're going to do is going to change you and take you to a different level, sometimes they're just mean. But mm-hmm. sometimes they're just frightened, you know, that they'll lose what they have with you. So, you know, I think you have to be savvy about it. Mm-hmm. Whoever you're going to share it with has to be somebody who will support it. Or you're better off, just talk to God about it, you know, or write a journal about it. Talk to yourself about it. Yeah, because you need support. And when something is brand new, it can be slaughtered, you know, it can be squashed in
right.
a second. So, yeah, mm-hmm. those new beginnings can be fragile.
Now, do you keep a journal yourself?
Yeah, but it's all in my mind. It's kind of like a computer.
and it never crashes, though, right?
Well, it crashes and needs to be defragged, too. So
once in a while, anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't write a journal, no. Mm-hmm. But I talk to myself all the time, so I haven't seen
right.
anybody about that, but, you know.
Well, no, you just want some interesting conversation, so you talk to yourself. That's what I do when I want interesting conversation. I talk to myself. I always agree with myself, and, you know, sometimes I'm happy when I do that.
There you go.
It all works. Now, your magazine is also a bit of a family affair. Don't you have your daughters working with you and a few other people in the family?
Yeah, it is. One of our daughters delivers the publication. Of course, we have other distributors, too. When we first started, you know, we could get by with one or two person delivering. We have four people delivering now. And then both our daughters help out, you know, in office with subscriptions and distribution and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So you get a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls with people pitching new ideas, all types of things. Does it ever get to be a bit overwhelming?
It's overwhelming for me,
okay.
but that's a personal thing. And that's because you know, I believe in people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone has conceived an idea, they absolutely can execute that idea, bring it to fruit. I know that. I've done that in my own life and over. And so it's really hard when people bring ideals to say that that's not going to work for us because we have, you know, have to dedicate our time. You know, that's the great thing that we all have that's equal. We all have that 24 hours a day. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire, you still just get that 24 hours. You know?
Right. Well, that's just it. You only have so many days in this particular lifetime, too. It doesn't matter
right.
how much money you have or anything else. And, you know, they often say you can't buy your health. If you don't have that, you're really in trouble.
Yeah. So we do have a lot of things that come at us and that is a difficult thing for me to sort of turn some things away,
mm-hmm.
and I try to do that well, you know, leaving that person with, you know, my confidence that they can execute, you know, that they can make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you asked about the publication, how's it going? I think about the 50 things we didn't do and that could have been done because there's so much that each individual can do to change the world. You know, starting with themselves and then their family unit, where they work at. And we have a lot of work. Humanity, I feel, has a lot of work to do. So I think we have a ways to go. I mean, we're in the right track, you know. We just keep doing it.
Right. It's just going to be a matter of time, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Well, it's got to be a matter of time, you know, even, again, getting back to the fact that it's man-made. But, I mean, eventually we'll reach the promised land, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Do you feel that?
Yeah, and time in the sense that at that moment when you conceive an idea, that expand your mind enough to shift your life, then that's the time we're talking about. It's not the time on a clock. It's a stage of our evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stage of expansion in our heart. Sometimes our heart is expanded. That's a time. It's a period of time that our heart expands and that we love the world more, that we care more. So I think that's the kind of time we're talking about. So it is a matter of time, and time to shift our minds, mm-hmm. time to open our hearts, time to extend our hands to each other and assist each other in lifting each other up. And do I think we'll get there? Absolutely. I'm going there.
All right. Well, that's the attitude.
Yeah.
That's
what about you? Are you going?
Yeah. No, I'm going to get there eventually.
Yeah.
Just a question of when, that's all. Now, when you put the magazine together and you receive all the articles from the writers, do they just arbitrarily send you things, or do you recruit people? How does that work?
I don't recruit at all. Mm-hmm. I really don't even recruit for advertising. I believe that there's a magnetic force in the universe. You know, I believe that the people that are drawn to the publication are the right people, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Right.
So I trust that process. So people generally find the magazine out there, and they call me up, and, you know, they feel that they can contribute something, and we just go from there.
Mm-hmm. So you're open to different thoughts and ideas that people present to you?
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
And that is perhaps different than most publications. So don't put anything on, excuse me, on the publication that says, well, we have to have something about food this month that says this. I don't put myself in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I might think that something is important, if that doesn't come up, then it must not be important to be expressed out in the publication. So I trust that, you know, spirit is guiding. And, you know, I think if we leave things open enough, then spirit can guide. Because if we put too many rules on things, then, you know, like going for a drive somewhere or going for a walk somewhere, if you always take the same path you always did, you're always going to see the same thing. But if you leave it open to just sort of feel your way through, like, oh, I just sort of feel like turning left, and you turn, and you can be amazed with life that way.
Right. You can also get hopelessly lost, but, you know, it just depends, right?
Someone say, I am hopelessly lost.
Oh, okay, so, right. I wasn't implying you, of course. You know, that was not intentional whatsoever.
Not a problem.
Yeah. No, but that's, you know, interesting. Again, I mean, yeah, you want to try to stay open, but again, I think people's egos get in the way. They want to defend themselves, or they want to prove themselves right, whatever the case may be, so they don't always open themselves up. And they're also afraid. They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid of failure, whatever it might be. It's hard to open yourself up. Do you have any suggestions on how to do that?
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, we begin with the fears. You know, every time an ideal is conceived, it's just natural that you are going to have to weed through your fears, your guilt. There's a series. It's an actual process. Just like if we were to take a seed and we were just put it in dirt and put some water on it, there's a process that seed's going to have to take to break through the crust of the ground to reach the sun and to grow into its glory. And so every ideal that we have to go through exactly the same thing. And I think ideals come to us and they're planted in the heart. And then they grow through the intellectual process. And we have to get good at allowing that to happen without dampening our spirits. So just know that every time you're going to try something new, it would not even be normal or natural for you to not be, one, afraid, and to not relish in the potential glory, and then not feel maybe ashamed or maybe guilt for that. So you're going to have to feel through those emotions to break through to see the sun, to come to fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know that ahead of time, rather than thinking, oh, well, this doubt or this fear is the reason why I won't do this. You can't create anything without having gone through the fear and the doubt. So I think get used to failing. Mm-hmm. Get used to going through all of that. And then once you have mastered failing, you will succeed.
Yeah. Failing becomes easy after a while, right?
That's my method.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's good method. I'm with you on that.
Definitely. I mean, it was good enough for Edison and a lot of other geniuses on the planet.
Right. Well, wasn't it Edison when he would have a failure with whatever he was working on? He said he just found another way that product or that thing didn't work.
He was excited about that.
He actually learned. I mean, that's the way he looked at it. It wasn't like, oh, I failed again. No, I've learned how this doesn't work using this method or this, you know, ingredient or whatever it might be. You know,
exactly.
So he's always learning, and I think that's a great attitude. I think most people have a hard time developing that, though, because they think that, oh, I've made a mistake, and something you brought up is guilt. Guilt can really control a person, I think, and that really affects people, don't you think?
I do. It can. It absolutely can. And I think all of those emotions are normal, they're natural, and we're going to feel them from time to time. We just need to know the way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we know, one, that it's normal and that it's natural and it's going to happen, then we can kind of prepare ourselves. And then even before it occurs, we can say, okay, so the next time that I feel guilty about something, here is my process. I'm going to write down, you know, what the guilt's about and penance, you know, okay, so if I've really done something that I should feel guilty, then make adjustments to it. So if we create this process, just like, you know, the girl who was doing the ice skating, you know, she had a process. When you fall, you have to turn to the left so that you don't break your hip.
Right.
And then you turn to the right and lift yourself up. So before we get into that emotional mess that can really, I think, dampen our spirits and suck the life force out of us, before we get there, I think it's helpful to decide what I'm going to do with fear, what I'm going to do with guilt. And I did that. You know, I decided one was like making decisions. When I was younger, it was difficult to make a decision because I didn't want to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I forced myself. I said, for 21 days, I am going to give myself 3 seconds every time a question's asked. I'm going to decide within 3 seconds and follow through. It was a crazy 21 days. It was like, do you want to go to lunch? Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't really want to do that. Why did I say that?
But I forced myself to stick with it. And I learn to make better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So learn, you know, play with failure.
Right. Well, there again, you never know what could develop. I mean, you chastise yourself for, oh, why did I say that or why did I do that? But in the long run, that might be one of the best things that ever happened to you.
Yeah. All the learning is done in failure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't learn anything by succeeding.
Right.
You know, when you're just sailing along, nothing else is happening. You're just sailing along. It isn't until something isn't working right that you have an opportunity for growth. And I embrace that, not all at once.
Yeah, right.
You know,
well, you don't
not
want
all
to be
day long.
Overwhelmed, right.
Right. But, you know, bit by bit, I know that that struggle is strengthening me and teaching me. And so I think, I wish that was taught more in school.
Mm-hmm.
In our schools, it would be fantastic, you know. I encourage that, you know, I, of course, taught that to my children. And, you know, they work with that on my grandchildren, you know. It's okay.
That's right.
Yeah, it's okay to fail because that's how you learn.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. Again, I think that's why people don't try certain things, because they are afraid of failure and they don't want to look stupid, you know. But, again, mm-hmm. just what you've pointed out, you're going to have failure, you're going to look stupid. Yeah, it's not good and it's embarrassing, but again, that is how you learn.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I think the older you get, the harder it can get if you haven't prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's why I like the youth to make some mistakes. Now, not crazy ones that hurt other people, but I like the youth to make a lot of mistakes so they can get over themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get over the embarrassment and all of that of it. But one great thing is there is this community, Mike, that teaches classes and helps people express this way. So go into the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, or go into the website, bodymindspiritguide.com. There are life coaches that help with this type of thing. You know, there's just all kinds of resources here in Michigan of people to just help you take that next step. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Once again, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Penny Golden. She is the owner and publisher of Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. Now, what does the future hold for the magazine? Any big plans coming up? Or just remain the same and try to progress day by day?
That will never happen.
No, you're always growing, always expanding.
Oh, it's an expanding universe,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yes.
What's new right now is that we've purchased a building to house Body, Mind, Spirit Guide and Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And what's nice about that is we're going to have a place to gather people and allow our advertisers to come in so that they can learn to be a better service to the community at large and hopefully have some public inviting readers and, you know, listeners from the radio in studio. So we're pretty excited about having that space that we can kind of call our own and make a lot of mistakes and have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, that's what's new right now.
Yeah. So, again, people of a like mind, though, can come together and learn from each other. I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I'd like to have some series of classes that might be templates that other people could create in their cities and mm-hmm. in their businesses. You know, just classes that would, allow people to get the basics down of meditation. You know, Edgar Casey says that prayer is talking to God, meditation is listening to God.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you can kind of have a one-way conversation with the universe if you don't quiet your mind and kind of listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those very basic things that get us on the right path, I would love to have some classes and some gatherings for. So we'll be looking to do that, and, you know, I'm excited about it.
Mm-hmm. So this is a fairly good-sized location where you can expand and offer some of these classes?
I think it's a bungalow home
mm-hmm.
that's on a main road, and it was a chiropractic office for 30 years. So it was already a healing center. It just has mm-hmm. a great feel to it.
Right.
We can't host large crowds, but small gatherings we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sufficient. We can begin there, and who knows, if the room gets full, we can rent the hall across the street. So.
Right. Well, that's how Motown Records started, wasn't it? One house on the boulevard there and just expanded. They had three houses, and who knows?
I didn't know that. But
well, you could be the Motown of metaphysics, maybe.
Well, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, okay. That could be your motto, the Motown of metaphysics. No, I don't know. You'd probably get into copyright issues and all that stuff.
All right,
are you
threatening to sue me with that?
No,
metaphysically speaking?
No, not at all. So, I mean, it's good that you're always thinking and you're always expanding. So you're always, I guess you're always on the go, and the fact that you're always trying to come up with new ideas, and you must be open to new ideas too, right? I mean, from others and whoever's around you.
Absolutely. Because my best ideals, I might not even have thought of.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I'm absolutely open. Like every person you meet, there's great opportunity in just connecting with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know where the next thing that's going to move you and shift you and assist you. So I'm very open.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's beautiful, you know, connecting with other people. There's almost like, it's pretty rare if I don't meet with somebody and I'm in their presence that I just don't, get excited about life again,
mm-hmm.
you know? So the possibility is always there every time we connect,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Right. Well, it's a good thing.
I mean, unless we're in a bad mood and we're, you know, I mean.
Right. That does happen from time to time. We're all human.
Right. I have special people I call for that. My daughters.
Oh, really? Yeah. They're your therapists, are they?
Well, you know, they give me drama. I give it back.
Oh, okay. It's a mutual thing.
It's fair.
Have you always been a metaphysical person, a spiritual person your whole life, or is that something you've just been aware of as you've grown and just decided that that speaks to you and that's something that you wanted to pursue?
It's really been all my life. How lucky for me. I'm Native American. So my mother was a full-blooded Native American, and it's just natural for us to connect with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't try to train me on anything. She just was being herself, and everybody else was too, and it was just natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our home was, there. Some incredible things happened. Like, no one had a dream that the next morning we didn't sit around the breakfast table and discuss the dream and what it meant. So I just had that gift of that early education, and, you know, I was connecting with spirit very young. I remember, you know, seeing dead people and, you know, who weren't dead, by the way, because okay. I could see them and they were talking, mm-hmm. you know, so they weren't like lying there like in a coffin. And I remember talking with my mother about it and her saying, honey, dead people have things to do. So don't talk to the dead people. Let them do what they're supposed to be doing. And to her, that was matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
She understood that, one, that I did see them, and two, that it was best for them to be doing what they should be doing.
Right. So she wasn't trying to be condescending.
Not at all.
To take you to task for anything like that.
Not at all. So I didn't have to prove anything. She was aware it was true, and it was the best guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, dead people don't need to be talking to little children. You know?
Well, yeah, I guess. Depends on the dead person, though. Maybe you can learn something from that person.
I think so. And I was guided many mm-hmm. times by the angelic realm
right.
in my childhood on many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. As soon as we get out of the physical and we start connecting with entities, there's a wide array. You know, there are people that have passed over.
Right.
And then there, as the angelic realm, there's other beings. So you need discernment, and that's the gift of having somebody who knows that and teaches their children that.
Right.
You know, so that you don't become an adult and then attempt. You know, it's kind of like if you never learned how to talk until you were adult, and then as an adult you want to go and connect with other people. It's very difficult.
Right.
So I think in those early years, it's really nice to have that.
Mm-hmm. Or just to be treated like you're crazy, like, what are you talking about, and not really give it any validity whatsoever.
Absolutely. And, you know, thank goodness we stopped burning people at the stake,
yeah.
right?
Well, yeah, for good. The most part we have.
For the most part?
Yes.
So far.
About certain parts of the world, I don't know. But
right.
If someone wanted to get in touch with you, where and how could they do so?
Our telephone number is 734-513-6137, and the magazine is in 1,400 stores throughout Southeast Michigan. You can pick it up or connect with us at BodyMindSpiritGuide.com. BodyMindSpiritRadio.com is where you can hear all of the shows, which are archived, so even if you've missed the time, you can still listen to that show. And I'd love to connect with people out there that are listening that want to talk about these ideals, concepts, articles, radio, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's all good, right?
It's all good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Penny, thank you for being on the show. Once again, you've been a delight. I've always enjoyed talking to you, and I do, once again, want to thank you for all the help you've provided for us with the Holistic Festival. It's been great. I've enjoyed talking to you today, and every time I get a chance to you, you're always a fascinating person, and I do really enjoy you, so thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. Will this air before the
festival? Yes, this will be the Tuesday before the festival. So
let's invite everybody again.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to mention the fact that WHFR, Metaphysically Speaking, would like to invite you to our 5th annual Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair. That's going to be on Saturday, March 23rd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Student and Culinary Arts Center on the campus of Henry Ford Community College. We'll have an impressive array of vendors, readers, and body workers for you to choose from. Live music and fascinating speakers will be available, and that's all included in the admission price of only $5. And here's an added bonus, and that is all high school and college students with current identification will be admitted free. That's always important. So once again, that is the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, Saturday, March 23rd at Henry Ford Community College. We hope to see you there at the fair, so come on out. This is a fundraiser for the radio station. All the money we make goes right to the general operating fund, so it's a great cause. Of course, we're a little biased, but it is a great cause, and nobody profits from it other than the radio station. So we like to give back to the community and the radio station, and we think it's a great thing. So hopefully you'll join us. Once again, I want to thank my special guest this month, Penny Golden, owner and publisher of Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. And I would also like to thank her husband, Howard, who is not here this evening, or this afternoon, I should say. But I do appreciate all their help and advice that they've given us over the years, just not only with the festival, but in general. They've always been a great source of help. I do appreciate that. I also want to thank Brandon McKay for producing this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I always appreciate his help as well. So with that being said, once again, please join us at the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair coming up on the 23rd of March, Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Be sure to check it out. I'm sure you will have a great, great time. Once again, thank you for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Best of Broadway. I'm Joe, your host, for the next 2 hours, and we have a lot of great Broadway music for you. Today we're going to do the two plays. We're going to do Guys and Dolls, and we were planning to have the Music Man. I'm sorry we won't be able to do that this week for some technical difficulties we've had, but we are going to do another great play, Pal Joey. So we got two good plays for you this afternoon, and we'll start off with the Guys and Dolls. This is based on a story and characters of Damon Runyon. The music and lyrics are written by Frank Lesser, book by Joe Swirling and Abe Burrows. This particular version, it's an all-black version. It stars Norma Donaldson, Ernestine Jackson, Robert Guillaume, James Randolph, Edie Birdie, Clark Morgan, Christopher Pierre, Emmett Babe Wallace, and Ken Page. It was directed by Billy Wilson, and the entire production was under the supervision of Abe Burrows, and it's recorded on our own Motown Records. So let's listen now to the beginning of the overture of Guys and Dolls.